Hello, hello. Welcome to Beyond ADHD, a physician's perspective. I am Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash. I'm a family medicine physician practicing in rural Texas. I used to be hindered by my ADHD, but I now see it as a gift that helps me show up as the person I was always meant to be, both in my work and in my personal life. In the past 2 years, I've come to realize that unlearning some of my beliefs and some of my habits were just as important as learning the new set of skills. Well, hello, hello. I am so glad to be here today. I have an amazing friend from Dallas, Dr. Andrea Watley, and she is actually the owner and head pediatrician at 127 Pediatrics. It's a really cool setup that she has going on. She is a home visit only direct primary care pediatric and lactation practice, and she's able to provide convenient and really high quality evidence-based care in your house. Like, how amazing is that? And she also helps with breastfeeding medicine consultations. So I'm so excited to have her here, and she does all kinds of education on breastfeeding. But, this is probably her passion project, and she's gonna share some nuggets about some of the difficulties that can happen during breastfeeding time and how maybe taking some of those tips can be helpful to implement for any of us who have ADHD or any of us who feel like we might all of a sudden have something that feels like ADHD because of the new responsibilities during this amazing and exciting and challenging time of our lives. Awesome. So thank you for coming. I'm so excited you're here today.
Thank you for inviting me. This is exciting.
Tell me, how did you decide to do what you're currently doing? Because, did you envision this all along when you started off like in residency into pediatrics, or what were you thinking?
Yeah, so I was in pediatric training in San Antonio, actually. And I had a pediatrician mentor. So my advisor was always telling me that I should start my own practice. And I told her she was crazy. So I never, ever had that desire. When I was in residency, my husband and I actually met via the internet while I was in San Antonio, and he was here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So we met, we dated, we married, and we were long distance for that whole time. So we got married at the end of my intern year of residency, which was crazy. Why would anyone do that? And then we lived apart for the first 2 years of our marriage. So I moved back to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and it was really hard to find a job. You know, like as a pediatrician, as a doctor, you think the world will want me, and nobody wanted me, it felt like. And so I looked all around town, and then I found this amazing job as a newborn hospitalist. I worked there for 8 years, loved every minute of it, loved helping moms and babies in the hospital during the first few days of the baby's life. But there was always something inside of me that was missing, that I am so-and-so's pediatrician. So I wanted that. And as, you know, kind of the corporate structure of medicine continued to press down on my heart and my soul, you know, I had my own child during that time and just missed having time with her just because someone else was telling me what my schedule was going to look like. So as a result of all of those things, I decided I wanted to start my own practice. So in the middle of that, you know, having my own child as well, and trying to breastfeed, I was a physician. I thought I knew everything, right? I'm a pediatrician. I take care of moms and babies, and I know everything about breastfeeding. Oh my gosh, I didn't. So it was kind of soul crushing, right? To try and breastfeed my own child. So all of those things kind of mixed together and prompted me to want to start my own practice doing pediatrics as well as breastfeeding medicine, so lactation consults. And then I looked at the horizon of medical care at that time, you know, and it's only gotten maybe worse since that time. So about 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago, I was like, I just don't want to work for anyone anymore. I want to do my own thing. And so in Dallas-Fort Worth, many of the practices, like anywhere else, right, are owned by a big health system, which is not all bad, but just for me, that just wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to provide a different thing for people. So I saw this model of direct primary care. So it's like a membership, right? So, you know, think gym membership, Netflix, that kind of thing. But this, you're becoming a member of a practice, and it allows me to provide kind of care that is really outside of the insurance structure. So, you know, insurance is, I do this, you pay me this, and then the insurance says whether or not that was okay or not, right? So this is more of a relationship between me and the patient. So each family pays me a set amount every month on the first, and then it allows me to care for their kids in a kind of amazing way. So a lot of what we do is over text message. I come to the house and see the patient. You know, I schedule all their well visits in advance. You know, I'm available to them when they're sick. So it's been kind of a fun thing. You know, a lot of growing pains, a lot of trying to figure it out, because really when I started, it was very unheard of. And now thankfully, you know, more and more pediatricians are getting out of the system and trying this out, and it's becoming a tiny bit more normalized. But also in addition to, you know, a regular pediatric practice. So I see, you know, kids, you know, big kids, little kids, babies, all the things. I've diagnosed ADHD more than I have ever in my whole life. Being able to, you know, see these kids for and know them really well. But in addition to that, I wanted to do breastfeeding medicine because I think there's just such a void in care, you know, from a physician's perspective. And there's a lot of things I can do that a lactation consultant who, you know, has a background in medicine, but not necessarily medical, you know, like a physician level type of education. So I can diagnose and treat, and, you know, all of that is best done at someone's house. You know, if you think about, I'm sure you, when you had babies, the last thing you wanted to do was leave your house, right? So yeah. I come to you for all those things.
Awesome. So I'm going to jump in here and say that there's so many things that you said that I 100% relate to what you're saying. First of all, I also met my husband on the internet. So how cool is that? Like, I met him back in the day when, like, they had Yahoo Personals. And it was meant to be like a joke type of thing because I, you know, it was my first year of med school. And I was just like, who can help me like buy lunch or dinner? Like, I was a broke medical student, right? But it was more like a dare. And here we are. But anyways, the point is that I could totally relate with that. The long distance thing, I've done some of that too. But yeah, that just shows you again how important it is to know yourself and to know what you want to do it and do it in your own terms, right? Because most people say, oh no, long distance doesn't work or da 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 da. But again, when you are mesh with what fuels you, like it becomes a no-brainer that you get to become a trailblazer in whatever you're doing. And it was so good. Like sometimes what we feel are like hurdles, like you said, oh, I didn't find somebody didn't, wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to hire you, right? But maybe it was like the universe letting you know to like step into what you wanted to create and for you to practice medicine exactly in your own way. And again, to refuel you, you ended up tapping into an area that is so needed, like breastfeeding. And I was you couldn't hear me because I had myself on mute because my kids are running around like crazy here. But when you, I was chuckling when you said I became a pediatrician and I had my own kid and I should have known everything about breastfeeding. I was laughing because that was exactly my thought. I was like, oh my God, I'm a family medicine physician. Oh my God, I talk to people left, right, and center about all the amazing things on why you should be breastfeeding. In my mind, it was like peachy, rosy, like they're just going to get on my breast and it's going to be a wonderful experience. And then I was so mad that I was like, what? I have to do this every 2 hours? Like I have to, like, what? And I remember also being frustrated and not having a lactation consultant to come and talk to me after breastfeeding. Or like, and I was only there 24 hours and they're like, oh, well, we'll set something up later. And like, that never happened. And so me going online and just on Pinterest or different places trying to figure out like how can I improve my milk production, or am I doing it right? Is it not like, and in my mind again, it should have been just this peachy rosy experience. Mm-hmm. But you don't realize, like you said, even though you've been medically told what the benefits, risks are, they don't show you until you yourself go through it, if you have the privilege of going through it, right? Or not, because some people decide this shit's too much work. And so they really do. But what amazing it is that you're able to fill in the gap and teach people about how to do it. Like you said, not like the medical version plus also your personal version. So tell me, when people reach out to you, what do you notice are like the most like challenging things, or what do you notice? What do they usually ask you?
So really it's mostly what we talked about. So they think it's going to be easy, so they don't prepare themselves. So there's a lot with breastfeeding that happens, and it's a lot of it is time sensitive. So our bodies do certain things because of the way our hormones work, you know, right after delivery. And if we don't do the things that we need to do really in the first week of the baby's life, breastfeeding for the long term becomes a lot harder. So, you know, breastfeeding is very hormone driven in the first, you know, 7 to 14 days of life. And that's great. So every mom who's ever had a baby makes milk, whether she wants to or not during that time period. But if you don't do the things that you know, putting the baby to breast really often, having an effective latch, all those things early on, then it becomes a lot harder. So a lot of times moms come to me after they've done all of that or not done all of that or been given really bad advice, and they're crying and they're in pain because they aren't able to breastfeed, you know, successfully like they've wanted to. So kind of cleaning up on the backside of that is a lot of what I do. A lot of hand holding, a lot of putting hands on mom's backs and saying, hey, I cried every day and it's okay. We're going to do this together. And kind of changing their perspective on, you know, what success really looks like. And maybe their goals are going to be a little different now, but it's okay. And this is where we're starting and this is what we can do now. So that's a lot of what I do. I see a lot of moms who are in pain and we kind of talk through that and what to fix with that. You know, I talk a lot of moms out of tongue tie is the reason for everything, as far as problems go. And it is a big problem, but it's not the reason for everything. So
making are you sure able to help with those tongue tie, or do you refer them to somebody?
So if the baby's young enough, I actually can do a phrenotomy, which is, you know, clipping the tongue tie as a home visit, which is amazing. So I did a lot of them as a newborn hospital doctor, and I've kind of adapted some of those techniques and I'm able to do them at the house. So I do them on referral. So if I'm seeing a baby for the first time for breastfeeding problems, you know, I tell them, you know, I think maybe the tongue tie is an issue, but, you know, giving them the options that they have. But yes, definitely a lot of the pediatricians in town will refer to me because they know that I'm not going to do it for everybody unless I think it's necessary. So yes.
Yeah. So it's so good that again, you're able to bring all these tools and use them right there, right? And it's so good to have, like I said, I think you're a trailblazer because direct primary care is something that recently, like maybe the last 2 years, I've heard more about, but you started this almost 5 years ago. And so you have really shaped it to be able to optimize how you take care of them. It's almost like blending the old school doc, so to say, where they say like, yeah, we're gonna, you and I, we're gonna do this way, despite what insurances say or how long or how much time they tell us we have to do to talk. And so you have that unique perspective. And like you said, being in their home makes a big difference. You know, for us to diagnose with ADHD, we need to look at not just one setting, you know, not just how are they doing at work or how are they doing at school. Like you need to be able to be like, okay, how do they do at church? How do they do in their sports? How do they do, you know, at home? How do they do at work or their environment, right? And so it, like you said, you have that perspective of insight. Like, tell me you have ADHD without telling me ADHD. When you walk into their home, you're yes. able to easily see maybe some piles of stuff that they haven't done or different things like that. And I'm not saying that everybody has the same way, but you learn to pick up on things that are not so obvious. And us with ADHD, we have this timeliness thing. So us getting to a doctor's appointment sometimes it's a challenge on itself. Mm-hmm. So how amazing it is that you can come to my house and I just have to stay put where I was supposed to be. And I'm always on time for your visit, so to say. So exactly. That would be that. That's so good. Yeah. So I think it's so important with that. Now tell me, what have you noticed might be some tips that you could give? You know, many times when during the birth of your first kid, or as you have more than one kid, even if you don't have ADHD, sometimes ADHD can get diagnosed then because, again, the executive function and emotional regulation is actually amplified, the needs are amplified, and we don't realize that the systems we had for ourselves or for one kid maybe are not enough for now. And then you throw in not sleeping or having the breastfeeding being a little bit more work than we anticipated. And you can see why our brain can feel like it's in a fog all the time. What are some of the tips that you have shared with your new moms? Like, do you have them do checklists? Do you have them ask for help from a neighbor or so they can sleep? What are some of the tips that you have noticed have been helpful since you do this breastfeeding all the time? Like, this is second nature for you. You just walk in and do it. Most of us forget like what we went through during those short period of time because we were just trying to survive it.
Yes, exactly. So I don't have ADHD, but I do take care of parents. I take care of kids, but definitely parents who have ADHD. And I have a chronic disease that kind of gives me that sense of ADHD. So, you know, things that have worked for me and things that work for moms might be different. So as a new mom, I probably had some postpartum anxiety. You just feel crazy during that time. Everything is just crazy. Your hormones are making your emotions amplified, your lack of sleep, your physical demands of being a new mom, all of those things amplify anything that you probably already had. And like you said, we're coping with because you had strategies. So, so for new moms, for breastfeeding moms with ADHD, I would recommend some things that kind of I do to just manage my own life right now, but, to write things down. Is number one. So that's my number one tip, is to write things down. So which breast did you feed from last? Write it down. Or put a little pin on your shirt, or, you know, something that is a visual cue that will remind you. There are probably about 1.2 million apps or more for new moms now. So picking an app on your phone that can keep track of things like, you know, your breastfeeding, your formula feeding, your diaper changes, you know, all of those things that your pediatrician is going to ask you. when you go to the appointment, you're like, I don't know, I just barely got up this morning, right? So if you have it all written down, that will help. It will help you to kind of see your progress with breastfeeding as well. So, you know, I'm feeding every 2 hours, I'm feeding every 3 hours, I'm feeding every hour. You know, maybe there's something going on that's wrong, and having that, you know, written log will help your physician, your lactation consultant know how to help you better as well. Another tip for me would be, I mean, it's a big thing for me, and it was a hard thing, and it's a transition to a new mom, is protecting your sleep. You know, babies are biologically designed to be awake at night because they're used to this dark environment all day, and they don't know day and night, and they like to party in your belly all night, right? When you're pregnant, you remember that, trying to sleep and the baby's having a dance party. Yeah, so that doesn't change much when they're born, right? So doing some helpful things with sleep for the baby as well as sleep for yourself will help your mental status a lot. So, you know, I usually recommend in the first couple of weeks of life, you know, the baby's out in the bright environment during the day. You know, even though babies sleep most of the day in the first few weeks, you know, having them out in the bright sunlight in a room with light coming in, you know, the noise of your other children or your animals or the phone, or, you know, all those things. So they're starting to get used to, you know, the wakefulness cycle. And then at night, making everything as boring as possible, you know, trying not to turn on too many lights, trying not to have this sweet interactive conversation with them, but just doing the boring thing of feeding and putting them back down, you know, in the early days will go a long way to kind of reset their circadian rhythms. And the other piece of it is babies need to eat at night, you know, and breastfeeding, unfortunately, the way it was designed is they have to eat at night. You know, their bellies are only so big, their breast milk is so efficient, and they just need to eat pretty frequently. So you, in order to protect your sleep, if this is something big for you in ADHD, which I know it is, and a lot of mental, you know, brain change sort of things, is to get help, you know? So depending on your budget and your, you know, support at home, you know, maybe it's something your husband can get up and feed some pumped milk in the middle of the night so you can get a stretch of sleep. Maybe if your budget allows, you hire someone like an overnight doula or like a newborn specialist. You know, I'm going to be interviewing a newborn special doula overnight person in the next few weeks on my Instagram Live. And she does amazing things. She comes in and she cooks for the family, and she helps the baby get into a sleep routine, and she helps you, you know, whether you want to breastfeed the baby and she does all the rest, or whether you want her to feed, you know, some pumped milk or some formula even in the middle of the night. So it depends on your budget, but there's people that will help you. And then, you know, maybe you don't have a supportive spouse, or you can employ the help of a family member. Maybe your sister can take a few weeks off and come help you, or maybe a cousin, or, you know, a teenager can come in as a mother's helper during the day. Just, there's all sorts of ways that you can protect your sleep, and trying to get, you know, some consolidated sleep that will help your mental state. And then, you know, the other thing, the last tip, which goes along kind of with the protecting your sleep, is asking for help. So, you know, having all those people in your life that can help you do all the other things, you know, caring for your other child, doing the laundry, you know, cooking a meal, those kinds of things. You know, I think a lot of why women with ADHD or not don't succeed with breastfeeding is that no one helps them. You know, breastfeeding is a full-time job in the first few weeks. And so those are the big three things that I would say. I mean, there's more.
So I'm going to recap what you said. And then you can chime in if anything I missed, but write it down. So writing it down helps you to not have to always try to remember what's going on. So it helps you just stay present in the moment. And you touched on something that's so important. You know, visual, something visual to have. So like you said, put on a pin or, you know, something that says, okay, the last one I did was the right. So then when I'm going to start breastfeeding, you put them on where the pin is not. And then after you're done, move the pin, you know, so that you always start where the pin is not, because you already used that one last, right? So again, it almost seems so simple, but when our brain can't remember, you're going off of like, well, which one hurts less? Oh, I think I fit with that one, right? Like you're like doing that type of scenario to try to figure out which one it was. And then, yeah, I remember them asking like, how many hours, how frequently? You're like, I don't know. Why am I supposed to know? They, you know, and sometimes you're like, forever, it feels like they're just attached, like they never came off, and you're already asking me to put them again. And so again, if somebody explains to you what you should expect or not, that can just make the awareness makes all the difference. And like you said, it takes a village. It really does. Like you just said, it becomes almost a full-time job. I was so mad. I remember being so mad. I was like, this is my maternity leave. It's a leave. And my husband's like, you're not on vacation. Like, and I'm like, no, if I thought I was going to have a little bit of break for me, like when is my break? And you almost, if you don't have, like you said, that help, I'm so grateful that my mom came and stayed with me, you know, the first 6 weeks. That was such a relief because, but I did not ask for enough help at night. Like you said, I have plenty of stored breast milk. Why couldn't I have said, hey, mom, why don't you keep the baby right there and I'll sleep? Or why don't you, you know, for that night? I did not. I did not know to do that, you know, or I did not know to ask my husband to get up. Like my husband, I remember being mad sometimes because my husband's like, well, I never sleep anyways. And I'm like, well, then. Now it's so resentful because, but then I never asked. So yeah. You don't know that you can ask for help. Like, again, now looking back, it's so obvious, but while you're going through it, it's not obvious. Like, and then you have this sometimes physician complexity. Oh, I can do all the things like, you know, blah, 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 or just motherly instinct or whatever you want to call it, where you feel like you're responsible to do all the things. But if we look back, the way society is, like in some cultures, like you do have like multiple family members living in your household, so you have multiple hands to help you with childcare, with the nourishment of your kiddos, like emotional and intelligence, right? And so we don't realize that we were never meant to do all the things. We weren't meant to be the, you know, the cook, the cleaner, the nurse, the wife, the physician, the lawyer, the bill collector, the, you know, we weren't meant to do 10,000 roles, but here we are. And so, like you said, protecting your sleep, my God, like that's how we recharge, right? Like when if we're able to sleep at least 6 or 7 hours, like the next morning, we feel like we have a full battery instead of just at 20% and not aware why we're so groggy or so angry or so mad or so tired or so bloated or you name it, right? And again, you don't realize that all that is normal because of the lack of sleep. And sometimes, you know, even if you've never had a kid and if you're a physician who's gone through any type of residency or med school, by that means, during those rotations, you know what I'm talking about. Like your brain sometimes becomes a fog, or anytime you were studying for a board exam or something like that, like your environment is such where you're pulled in so many directions sometimes. That you don't realize that how important sleep is. And again, the importance of just writing it down, you have something to look at instead of like trying to remember, because our short-term memory is helpful right there and then. You write it down. Long-term, forget it. I have no idea. Like you said, I just woke up. What do you want from me? And yeah, this amazing gift that you could give yourself by asking for help, I think that's the smartest thing. I, again, if I could go back that's what I would have done. Like, I would have invested in a breastfeeding specialist who would have shared everything you just shared with me. And I would have definitely have invested in having, like you said, like somebody come help even for a few hours during the day, like so I can sleep, or I can or even having somebody come do my laundry or anything like that, because again, then it gives you time for you, so that we don't feel guilty that we're needing to do, or you're choosing to do all this for this baby, but at the same time you're like, where's my time? And so it's that dynamic, and I'm so glad that you're speaking about this, because this helps to create boundaries, but it also helps to create a support system that is a healthy support system for yourself. And the thing is, like you just said, throughout your life you're going to need boundaries, and you're going to need create systems, so why not start at the beginning to get it there, right? So it's so good. So where can people find you? I mean, now I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be like, I need that. I'm in Dallas. I need that.
So I am on Facebook at 127 Pediatrics. I'm on Instagram at 127 Pediatrics, and it's spelled out. I am also working on releasing a breastfeeding course at the end of the month. So you can find that through my 127 Pediatrics page, or you can go straight to breastfeeding.127pediatrics.com. My hope and dream and goal is to, you know, start with a basic breastfeeding class and then build from there and make a community where women can feel supported and, you know, educated and learn about breastfeeding ahead of time and then be supported during the process. And then I am on my 127 Pediatrics Instagram page on Fridays. I call it Fridays with Dr. Wadley. I'll be doing Instagram lives this month, you know, the next few months of, you know, bringing in different people that help support breastfeeding moms. So looking ahead, I have a, you know, OB-GYN. Next week, we're going to talk about the hormones of breastfeeding. And then after that, a sleep consultant. And like I said, an overnight postpartum doula. So those are some people that are coming up, just trying to support women in that. And then if you're interested in my practice, you need to live near Colleyville, Texas. So we're just outside of the airport here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I also have a satellite office, another pediatrician who works based in Aledo. So we're glad to take you into our practice if you're in those areas, as well as I do breastfeeding consults for women in Tarrant County. So the Fort Worth side of Dallas-Fort Worth. Sometimes if you're a physician mom and you talk me into it, I'll go to Dallas and do a breastfeeding consult over there as well. So I do those one-time visits outside of my practice. But if you join the practice as a new mom, you get all of those benefits, you know, within your membership as well. So.
Okay, ladies, pull the strings. Yeah, what an amazing niche that you're doing. Again, I wish I would have had this kind of support when I was going through it. And what a great way to support your patients and the moms. And, you know, it's such an amazing thing. But as you know, the audience listening to this sometimes zones out. And that's one of our gifts. So, but we do refocus from time to time. So if we just started listening right this second, what are some, like, what is the takeaway point that you would want them to have?
Gosh, I think just knowing that breastfeeding is hard, and it's hard for everyone. So everyone I talk to has a story about how hard it was, and that it's okay, and that it's normal, and still women succeed. And then the other thing is ask for help. You know, women, especially physician women, high functioning in society type women, we don't ask for help and we need it, and it's okay. So it's hard, but ask for help and you can do it.
So. Okay. Quick question. What do you see yourself doing in the next 3 years for fun?
For fun. So as a part of the Andre MD Business School, you know, we focus on having a life, right? So I am planning vacations. So my 10-year-old, my 9-year-old is turning 10 this year. So we're going to do a 10-year-old adventure somewhere probably in the mountains. Has to do with, you know, getting in a boat and doing whitewater. It's one of her favorite things.
How fun.
And then eventually traveling abroad would be a thing for our family. And then
what place abroad have you started brainstorming?
Yes. Yeah, so my husband lived in England briefly, so he's always wanted to take us there. So that would be our goal. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year.
Cool. Yeah. It's so important for us to not forget to incorporate fun into our lives because, you know, it drives us, it fuels us, it motivates us, and it keeps us on track. And we can't forget that, you know, this life is not a dress rehearsal, right? Like, this is our life. We get one shot. So why not be intentional about it? And why not enjoy it along the way? So thank you so much for coming today. It was such a pleasure to have you. Like, again, some of the things that you shared today almost seem so simple, but it's those simple things that can make a world of difference and can really help us set up routines and systems to support us and to then the ripple effects that happens when you are supported, everybody else wins also. So thank you so much for doing what you're doing. And the people in Dallas don't realize how lucky they are to have you. And so, Hey, maybe later on we can talk you into doing like a Texas-wide breastfeeding course. You know, that's something for you to consider. Or who knows, maybe you can do a course to teach the physicians as well so that we can turn around and provide care for our own people. All right. Well, you take care. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for spending your time with me. I really believe that time is your most valuable asset. Please subscribe to the podcast, share with your colleagues, and don't forget to check out my website at ADHD-lifecoach.com. where you can find out about my upcoming coaching group classes, as well as free master classes and other exciting events that are happening.